This morning, I'm going to do a little bit differently because normally I like to take one passage of Scripture and preach expositorily. That means take maybe a paragraph or a section of verses and then spend most of my time in those verses. I don't usually speak on topical subjects like this, but because of this subject, the Holy Spirit, I want to talk a little bit in a topical way. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about different things about the Holy Spirit and how He plays a role and is important in the life of the Christian. And so that's where we're going this morning in our study. The Holy Spirit and the Christian. The Holy Spirit and the Christian. What is the Holy Spirit to the Christian today? Is it important? Is it vital? Is it indispensable? Well, it is. The Holy Spirit plays an important part in the life of a Christian. And I want to share with you a few things to consider as we consider this very important and encouraging topic. The verses you'll notice in the bulletin, the initial verses are Acts 2:38, Acts 5:32, and 2 Timothy 1 and 14. I want to read those as introductory verses. Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, "Repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Then turn over to Acts chapter 5, verse 32. This is not long after Acts chapter 2. And verse 32, "We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him." God gives His Holy Spirit to those who are obedient to Him. And then we turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14. Paul says to Timothy, now 2 Timothy was Paul very close to death. He knew he would die within a short period of time. And he has some parting thoughts that he wants to share with the young preacher Timothy. He says this to Timothy, "Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you." What kinds of treasures are we talking about here? There are a number of ways we can go with this study. But there is the reality of the fact that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, is given to live within the Christian at the time that they are baptized in water for the remission of sins. In Romans 5:5, and you don't have to turn to these, you might refer to them later, we are confident in the love of God that He has for us because of the Holy Spirit. We learn from Acts 5:32 that I just read that the Holy Spirit is given to those who are obedient to God. There is the desire for holiness that should characterize the Christian in Romans chapter 8. We are struggling against sin, and the Holy Spirit has a part in helping us to overcome sin. And then there is, and this is very important, and we'll close out with this, there is the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, wants to and has the ability to bear fruit like love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, things like that that are found in Galatians chapter 5. Well, how are we to guard these things? How are we to guard our salvation through the Holy Spirit? First of all, I want to say this. We have the Holy Spirit as Christians, but we don't taste Him. We don't feel Him. We don't smell Him. We don't hear Him. We don't have any of those physical senses that tell us that we have the Holy Spirit. The reason we know we have the Holy Spirit is because the Word of God tells us we do. We know we have the Holy Spirit living within us, not through some sensory experience, but rather through the fact that the Word of God, the Scriptures, the Bible, Acts 2:38 and following, tell us we do. So we are to trust in what God promises from His Word concerning the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want us to keep in mind as we proceed in our study. There are four main points I want to share with you, and I've put verses down here so that you can take them with you and you can look for yourself at what Scripture says about the Holy Spirit. There are four things I want to share. The Holy Spirit living within the Christian gives us an incentive to not sin. Gives us an incentive to not sin. Number two, He is God's seal. I'll explain these a little more in detail in a moment. He is God's seal. He is the seal that God has placed upon us as part of our salvation relationship with Him. Number three, He is a reason to hope. I'll explain that a little more fully when we get to that point. And then finally, He is help for our weakness. We are all weak. We experience weaknesses. There are things that we face in life that are perplexing, that are difficult, that put pressures upon us, that want to tempt us, to drag us down and to pull us down. And the Holy Spirit cares about our situation. So first of all, I want to talk about the fact that He is a deterrent to sin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 11 and following, when Paul writes to the Corinthian church, a church that he had an awful lot of dealings with, things he had to instruct them with, he instructs them as to their immaturity, their lack of love, and you come down to verse 9 and 10 and 11. He says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." So he says to the Corinthians, these were things they used to live in, that they used to engage in. This is a lifestyle, and he mentions those in verses 9 and 10. He says, these are the things you used to do. This is the sin you were involved in. But he says, now you've been washed from that. You've been justified. You've been saved from that. And he says, it was done in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of our God. And then he goes on to talk about what it means for the Christian for the Spirit to live within them. Read along with me. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food, but God will do away with both of them. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Now God has not only raised up the Lord, He will raise us up through His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? May it never be. And do you not know that the one who joins himself to a harlot is one body with her? For he says, the two will become one flesh. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. What is he saying here? He's saying that knowing that the Spirit of God lives within us provides an incentive, a motivation for us to live a different kind of life. We are not to engage in sin because we know of who lives within us. Because if we go and engage in sin of any sort, and we know He is living within us, we're dragging Him into that, and we wouldn't want to do that. We would never involve our loved ones in our sin. Can you imagine for a moment, this is silly, can you imagine a moment a person saying to their mom or dad, say, "Mom, Dad, you know, I'm going out partying tonight. I'm going to go do a lot of heavy drinking. I'm going to really party. I'm going to get drunk. I'm going to just sip up the suds and sip up the booze. And I want you, Mom and Dad, to come and join me and be a part of this party." Would that be silly? We wouldn't do such a thing. We would not invite our mom and dad to say, you know, "I want you to come with me, Mom and Dad, because I'm going to party hard tonight and I want you to be experiencing what I'm going to experience." It's important for us to realize that what we do, our activity in life, and what we practice, we are pulling the Holy Spirit into it. So we should always say to ourselves, do I want the Holy Spirit involved in what I'm being tempted with? Do I want the Holy Spirit involved in something that is tempting me to drift off the right path, the narrow path, the right way? You follow what I'm saying here? You don't invite God into sin. You don't say to God, God, I'm going down this path and I'm going to sin. Would you come with me in your spirit as I get involved with that? You know, it makes sense to us, but that's what Paul is telling us here. Whether it be boozing it up, whether it be drinking, whether it be immorality, whether it be lying, whether it be embezzlement, whether it be whatever sin is being presented before you, think to yourself, okay, who is it that lives within me? Who is the one that is living within me? It's God living within me. The Holy Spirit is living within me. And therefore, I don't want to go down that road. I don't want to do the wrong thing because I don't want the Holy Spirit to be shamed by what I'm involved with. You know, thinking about that. So we would not involve our loved ones, and the Holy Spirit is one of our loved ones. The God the Father is our loved one. Jesus, His Son, is our loved one. And the Holy Spirit is our loved one. So we don't want to go down that road. Remember this the next time you are tempted to sin. Remember who is living within you, the Holy Spirit. You can't taste Him, you can't feel Him, you can't hear Him, you can't smell Him. But He's there because the Word of God promises you He is living within you at that time when you were baptized into Christ. When you were immersed in water for the remission of sins, and you came up out of that water, God not only forgave your sins, He gave you His Spirit to live within you. What a privilege that is. What a joy and a privilege and a good thing that really is. So whatever you're tempted to do, don't go down that road in order to honor Jesus and the Holy Spirit, because you don't want to involve them in your sin. Number two, He is God's seal to us. He is God's seal. This means ownership. When we're baptized into Christ, when we are baptized for the remission of sins, as Acts 2:38 tells us, we now come into ownership to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, when Jesus says in the Great Commission, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, He is literally meaning baptizing them into the possession of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are now owned by Him, and the Holy Spirit comes to live within us as a seal. Now, what's a seal? What do we mean? Remember when Jesus was taken down from the cross and He was dead, He was placed in a tomb. They rolled a stone over the tomb's entrance, and they placed a seal upon it. The seal does what? It says, don't tamper with this stone. When the Romans put that seal upon that thing, it was a warning to everybody, do not tamper with what this stone represents and covers by the authority of Rome. That's what we learn about the Holy Spirit being our seal. When God places His seal upon us, that is His Holy Spirit, His seal is a statement in the spiritual world that we belong now to God. We belong to Him. He owns us. In fact, isn't that what Paul said to the Roman or to the Corinthian Christians at the end of chapter 6? I'll read that again. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? You don't belong to yourself anymore. You now belong to God. He owns you, and therefore, as the owner, what does He have the right to do? He has the right to decide how to use your life. In verse 20, he says, for you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. So the seal means don't tamper with the contents. When you buy medicines, whether it's prescription or non-prescription, it has a seal on there. saying, don't use this if this has been tampered with. If the seal has been broken, don't use this medicine because it could be dangerous. It could have been compromised as to its integrity and purity. So when you buy medicines, whether it's over the counter or whether prescription, you want to know that what you have there has been kept pure. And when God gives His Holy Spirit to us to live within us, He's putting His seal of ownership upon us, saying, I belong to God. You belong to God. So what you do with your body is very important. It's very important that you do the right thing. Number three, we have hope. He is a reason to hope. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14, and I forgot to read the verses from 2 Corinthians 1, verse 22, but you can do it. Ephesians 1, 13, Ephesians 4, 30. They all speak about the fact that God has given His Holy Spirit as a seal for His people, for His saints, for His Christians, for His disciples. Number three, He is a reason to hope. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, the Holy Spirit, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, and Romans 15, 13, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. When he says a pledge, or your translation may say an earnest of our inheritance, when you go to buy a house and you make the decision that you're going to buy a house, what's the money that you put down on the house? What's it called?
Earnest money.
Earnest money. The same idea is here. By God giving His Holy Spirit to His people, to His Christians, to His covenant people, He is making a down payment, promising that greater things are off in the future. When you put money down on a house, earnest money to buy a house, you're saying, I'm putting this amount of money, but I'm promising to purchase the rest of the house. When God gives His Spirit to live within us as an earnest of our inheritance, what He's saying is, this is a down payment on the inheritance that is yet to come. Isn't that a great thought? Isn't that a wonderful thought to think that He gives His Holy Spirit as an earnest, a pledge of better things to come, of heaven to come, of an inheritance to come? It's a down payment. It's a pledge, a taste of heaven. You are already tasting a little bit of heaven right now if you're in Christ. Did you know that? You are already tasting a piece of heaven on earth. There's much greater things to come, but right now, by the Holy Spirit living within you, you are already tasting a little bit of what heaven is like, by the fellowship you have with God, by the forgiveness of your sins, by the loving family that you belong to, the church family, and all that that means to us. Salvation is to be guarded because we value heaven more than we value earth. You remember Esau, Jacob and Esau, how Esau sold his birthright to Jacob because he was hungry at one moment in time, and he was so hungry he gave up his birthright so that he could have the mess of pottage, the lentil stew. And lentil stew is good, by the way. You know, I like lentils. But Esau sold away his birthright for the temporary hunger he had. A lot of people live life saying, I will give up my spiritual birthright so that I can have my physical desires met. And we're not to do that. We are not to sacrifice the great things in heaven for a mess of pottage in this life. Number four, He is help for our weakness. And this is a wonderful promise that we receive from Romans chapter 8, 26 and 27. Before I read that, I want to read this. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. In Jude verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. But then Romans 8, 26 and 27, listen closely to what this wonderful promise is. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And I think what Paul is telling us, there are times of such stress, such pressure, such perplexity, such difficulty, such hardship, even depression. There are times when we don't even know how to put into words what is in our hearts. I've been there. Have you? You know what it is? Where you cannot even think of the words to express how you feel inside. And the promise of Romans 8, 26 and 27 is this. Though we are limited in our words, the Holy Spirit speaks to God on our behalf, knowing what we're trying to say, and we can't even say it. Our groans are heard by God, by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say the Holy Spirit speaks to us. It says the Holy Spirit hears our groans and speaks to God for us. So those times when we cannot put into words the deepest, most painful, troubling, difficult times, our prayers are not hindered because God still hears and understands what we are longing for, what we are hurting for, what we wish for, and what we pray for. That is a wonderful promise. That means that our prayers are not limited by our limited strength, by our limited knowledge, by our limited understanding. It means that God hears our prayers when we just can't even put them into words. He hears what we have to say. So he helps us in our weakness, Romans 8, 26 and 27. And then we won't look at this. This would be time for another study. But the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, all of these things are the fruit that the Spirit produces in us when we live the Christian life and allowing the gifts of God to be given to us. We have great resources available to us. We have the Father who conceived the plan of salvation that we can call upon the Father. We have the Son and we trust in His sacrifice and we go to the Father in the name of the Son. And then we have the Holy Spirit, the things that we have discussed today. And then Ephesians 5:18, it makes sense what Paul says. Do not be drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. That is, don't let wine, don't let alcohol guide you in your thinking, in your decision making. Don't let it be the influence in your life. Let the Holy Spirit be the influence in your life as you live a faithful life as a Christian. So don't go back. Don't go back to the life of unbelief and rebellion and sin. Remember, the Holy Spirit is an incentive to not sin. He is God's seal. He is a reason to hope. And He is our help for our weakness. Let me close with this. Hebrews 10:29. How much severer punishment do you think He will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and has insulted the Spirit of grace? You are invited, you are encouraged, you are asked, you are urged to be immersed in water into Christ for the remission of your sins, and receive the Holy Spirit to live within you. And there are many other things we could say about the Spirit, but that's all we'll cover at this particular study. If you're subject to the invitation, come now while we stand and sing.